You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
I'd like to welcome our family globally online. Thank you for joining us today for church. And I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 55 and read verse 6 through 13. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 13. And this is what it says, and I'd like everybody online to join me and read the Word of God with one voice aloud, because it works when it's declared. Let's read with one voice, unity around the world, 3, 2, 1. Call upon Him while... And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, for as the heavens, for as the rain. That it may give seed to the sower and... But it shall accomplish what I please. For you shall go... And all the trees of the field shall clap. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And everybody said, amen. There is so much depth, richness, and well-known phrases that are in this passage. You've heard it if you've been around church. And yet all of it centers around one verse. Verse 7. This whole passage is about verse 7. It says, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. I want to talk to you today about God's radical, complete forgiveness. The title of my message is God Has Forgiven You. I want you to shout out loud, God has forgiven me. Now look at both neighbors at the same time and say, God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. That is not entirely true unless you have first returned to the Lord. Those who return to the Lord... But see, even for the people that are listening to the prophet Isaiah, those words are so stunning. They're so shocking. You mean no matter what my life, no matter what I did, no matter where I've been, no matter what I've gone through, if I return to the Lord and forsake my old ways, He will forgive me totally and abundantly pardon me? Those 16 words in verse 7 are so loaded and so weighted that the prophet took the next 200 words to unpack it. And everything else we just read, which sounds like just a long chapter, is actually all forgiveness unpacked. God has forgiven you. You know, it sounds so simple, but forgiveness cost heaven everything. I don't know any other passage in the entire Bible that has depth to forgiveness like Isaiah 55. And maybe because you often read the verse, skip over, and then read the rest and apply it to other contexts, you don't realize that the prophet meant this in the context of how powerful God's forgiveness is. Sometimes we minimize the impact of forgiveness because of the way it's been modeled to us or even given to us. Some of us today even have a blockage with God because even though in our head we know we're forgiven, we don't live as if shame and guilt is no longer a part of our future. And that changes today. I declare that changes today. I declare over the back row that changes today. I declare over the front row that changes today. I declare over every believer that has come back to God but is living like they're not really forgiven. You're thinking of a sin or a season or a space of time in your life where you go, I know a lot of it's forgiven, but that I don't know. I want to bring it to your remembrance just so you can be forgiven and forgetting about this once and for all. Because God has forgiven you. Everyone say, God has forgiven me. You know, I want to unpack everything we just read and show you how radical, complete, and deep God's forgiveness absolutely is. Number one, God's forgiveness is unfathomable. Why would I say that? Because look at the verse straight after he will abundantly pardon you. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. We often quote those words to talk about the mystery of God. You know, when something mysterious happens, you get a job you didn't expect, somehow things work out, or maybe a tragedy happens and you're like, well, we serve a mysterious God. You know, trying to explain the sovereignty of God in a context that just, we don't know what to say. So we say, hey, his ways are higher. All right? Anyone heard that? His thoughts are, yeah, I don't know. And that's correct. It's not wrong to apply it to a number of situations. But the context in which this was written was God's forgiveness. Because really what people were saying, what, he'll abundantly pardon me? He'll totally forgive me? I can't get it. And he says, don't try. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. You wouldn't forgive you. You wouldn't forgive them, but I will forgive you. So don't even try and understand it. Don't reason his forgiveness. Receive his forgiveness. Don't try and logically work out how it works. Just embrace it and say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Because if I told you he'd forgive the alcoholic, the adulterer, the murderer, the drug dealer, the pedophile, think of the worst sinner you can think of. God will forgive them if they return to the Lord. If they turn, and you're like, but that doesn't, we know good people who won't seek forgiveness. And we think they deserve heaven more than the worst sinner who will turn around. And it rankles with our sense of justice. And it messes with our sense of fairness. But he says, relax, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways, not my ways. And it's not even close. In case you're like, okay, your thoughts are different to mine. Can I get there? No, he says, as high as the heavens are above the earth. The gap is so big, you shouldn't even try. But what you should do is believe. I receive your forgiveness completely. I can't rationalize it, but I can receive it. Today, everybody say, unfathomable. I don't care how many PhDs you have, you cannot ever truly understand it. And I want to tell you that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Some of us are stuck with guilt and shame because we cannot rationalize why God would have pardoned me. But if you return to the Lord, if you forsake your ways and return to his ways, his forgiveness is radically complete. It's unfathomable. He says, don't even try and narrow the gap. Then secondly, God's forgiveness is unchangeable. What do you mean unchangeable? Look at the next verse in Isaiah 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and what? Does not return. He's saying, that's how radical my forgiveness is. This is all about forgiveness. As the rain comes down and does not return, the snow comes down, God's forgiveness comes down from heaven. It does not return. Anyone ever felt like someone forgave you and then withdrew their forgiveness? Have you heard of the Indian giver? Well, this is the Indian forgiver. The Indian forgiver is the person who forgives you. Could be Chinese, could be whatever. They forgive you and then, they forgive you in the moment, but then they don't really mean it long term. And when it suits them, they'll bring it out from the sea of remembrance. See, I knew you never changed. And because that's the forgiveness that's been modeled to us, we don't realize God's forgiveness is not only unfathomable, we'll not understand it, but it is unchanging. As the snow comes from heaven and does not return there. Yesterday, I've been away for 3 weeks. I took Caleb out to a movie, and just me and him, Father Sunday. And I said, I knew what I was talking about, so I was processing with him. I said, son, you know, I was checking my own forgiveness. When Dad forgives you, do you feel like you're totally forgiven? That I don't, you know, hold it against you? He goes, Dad, you totally forgive me. I go, thanks, son. I go, and so you don't think I'll ever bring it up? He goes, oh, you'll definitely bring it up. I said, what? He goes, oh no, I know you totally forgive me, but I reckon you'll tell my children one day all my sins. I said, better check my own modeling of how I'm doing this forgiveness thing. He goes, no, but as a joke, not because you're really mad, but you know, the Bible says the snow comes from heaven and does not return. So once God's forgiven you, don't remind him of something that has never returned back to heaven. It's never returned to him. It's in a lake, it's in a sea, it's in an ocean, it's in a space, and it's in a place. God does not have amnesia. He forgets nothing. So he created a space where he can literally put all your sins, because the Bible says he remembers them no more. How can an eternal God remember no more? That's how unfathomable and unchanging God's forgiveness is. Number three, God's forgiveness is life-giving. Look at the next verse. Again, this is about forgiveness. It says, it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Another verse we've heard, this time you've heard this verse about giving. Offering, teaching, being around church. God's going to give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. And we think it's about giving. It's about forgiving. Here's what he's saying. My forgiveness is so life-giving that it waters the earth. My forgiveness is so unfathomable, unchanging, it's life-giving. It should actually produce new life in you. The sign of someone truly forgiven is there's new life coming out of them. You've got a desire to sow. You've got a desire to bear fruit. The freedom that forgiveness gives you should produce fruit. Shame and guilt does not produce fruit. But God's forgiveness absolutely does. In fact, the word of God by nature is life-giving. So when God says, I forgive you, I abundantly pardon you, it should actually create life in you. Some of you today, for the first time, you've been saved for years, you're going to feel the effect of God saying to you, you are truly forgiven, I truly pardon your sin, and I don't hold it against you anymore. That's why I'm getting you to repeat right throughout this sermon, God has forgiven me. Say, God has forgiven me. Say it loudly, God has forgiven me. Until your soul can reflect the depth of God's forgiveness, you will never live the way you're supposed to live. Number four, God's forgiveness is guaranteed. Guaranteed. Like, what do you mean guaranteed? Look at the next verse. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to be void, but it will accomplish what I please. Another verse we have heard preachers preach. And normally we think before they preach, this is what they preach. This is what they pray. God, may my word go forth today, and may it not return to me void. It's not a wrong application. But that's not what it's talking about. It is talking about any word of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, but it's talking about forgiveness. God is telling the children of Israel, let me tell you how radically my pardon is. When it goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me void. Some people say they forgive you, but they don't really forgive you. When God says, I forgive you, it will accomplish what he purposes and it pleases him, because that is the nature of his word. So it lands in your heart and it'll take root and it will actually prosper. So how on earth can guilt live in your life if this is the depth of God's forgiveness? It's unfathomable, it's unchanging, it's life-giving, it's guaranteed. Number five, God's forgiveness brings joy and peace. It says, for you shall go out with and be led out with. Again, another scripture that I certainly used to think was had other contexts. Back in the day, at the end of services, they used to have a benediction song. You shall go out with joy. It's in a minor key. Attracts demons. And be led forth with key. Mountains and the hills will break forth before you. It was a nice song. Actually, it wasn't even that nice. But honestly, it was the benediction. Because we thought that verse meant you go out. Okay, now you finish church. Go out with joy. Be led forth with peace. We didn't know about the mountains and the hills clapping. And we didn't know what that meant. But we just sang it anyway. Because it just sounded like a good benediction. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about forgiveness. When you've been totally forgiven, you go out with joy and you be led forth with peace. In fact, you are such a radiant picture of God's goodness that the mountains and the hills, nature will recognize freedom in a soul that no longer bears the sin. The mountains and the hills will break forth into singing. The trees of the field will clap their hands. All of this is about His forgiveness. All of this is about His unfathomable, unchanging, guaranteed, life-giving forgiveness. So really, if your life isn't exhibiting the joy and the peace that it should, you don't need a blessing to make you happy. Just the awareness of your salvation should fill you with joy and peace. I have one prayer for my own soul. I pray I never get over being saved. I never see it as just some entry point a long time ago. May I never lose the wow of my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Wow. Joy and peace. I think the target today is not so much the unbeliever, even though if you are an unbeliever, you're going to come home today and find life and peace. The target is the believer living with the fruit of an unbeliever. You imagine if you had $1 million owed and your debt was forgiven and you look like you still owe $1 million. Something's not right. You haven't really registered what's happened. And some of us, our spirit has not registered that. Number six, God's forgiveness changes nature. What? Listen to what the prophet said. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Now, I looked it up. Thorns and briars normally grow as a consequence of unforgiveness and bitterness. Thorns in the Bible represent sin, sorrow, hardship. Briars represent death and drought. The cypress tree. So he says, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. In ancient Israel, cypress represented healing, uprightness, evergreen, eternal life. That is what God says. Instead of the shame and the guilt that your sin deserves, instead will come up something that is healing, that is upright, that is evergreen, that has eternal life. Cypress trees are long-living trees that are able to endure harsh climates and poor soil. Even if everything starts to dry up around you, the forgiveness of God should stand up strong as a testament to His uprightness, His goodness, and His healing. And instead of the thorn will come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar will come up the myrtle tree. And I thought, what is a myrtle tree? It's a slow-growing, fragrant tree that is always green. I want you to think about that for a second. You should always be green. I know we have good days and bad days. We have highs and lows. But you should always be green. There should always be life. You should always, it's always with big, beautiful blossoms and a strong root system. See, the power of God's forgiveness should work so deep in my life and your life that no matter the season or the climate, no thorns, no briars, only life-giving fruit and radiance. Number seven, God's forgiveness is a sign. It's a sign to the world. It says, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You are a sign. Everybody, you're a sign. Look at the person next to you and say, you're a sign. Look at the other one and say, you're a wonder. You are a sign and a wonder. Because the mark of God's people should be forgiveness through your very system, that people go outside, go, what is it about that people? It's not because we're better, it's because we're forgiven. When everyone else is cutting themselves and showing penance and paying a price and trying to pay for their own privileges to appease their own deities, God comes along and says, if you return to me, I'll abundantly pardon you. I'll forgive your sins. I'll remember them no more. And don't try and understand it. My ways are higher than yours. Don't try and change it. As the rain comes down, it doesn't return. Don't try and undo the power of it, because it will not return to me void. If I say you're forgiven, you are forgiven, and no person can undo that. It will not return to me void. It'll accomplish everything I say. Instead of the thorn and the briar will come up the cypress and the myrtle tree. It is life-giving. It is radiant. It'll be a sign. This is a simple message today, but But there's depth to it that we all haven't discovered. And today I pray it actually awakens something inside of you. You know, I thought of this as I land this. What does it mean that we are a sign? That God forgiving me makes me a sign. I'm a sign that'll never be cut off. You are a sign that'll never be cut off. You know, when people look at my life, when they look at yours, do they see God's forgiveness over it? That's an interesting way. We're like, do you look like a forgiven person? Or are you walking around looking unforgiven? It's unfathomable. It's unchanging. It's guaranteed. It's life-giving. It produces joy and peace. It changes the very nature. And it literally, if this doesn't cause you to worship, to praise, to celebrate, to give thanks, it just means you haven't got it yet. See, the sign is this. If someone truly is forgiven, they walk humbly. Whenever you see an arrogant Christian, those ones that are always condemning other people and judging them, and that's a sign you've lost sight of how much you've been forgiven. We're called to walk humbly, confidently, but walk humbly. And you always have a limp, remembering that it is God who forgave you and gave you the ability to live, to walk. But for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We should walk humbly with our God. That's what the prophet Micah said. All I require of you is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Walking humbly is I am so confident in my salvation because I have a God who paid my price with an unfathomable, unchanging, guaranteed forgiveness that has produced life and it's changed me. I'm not perfect, which is why his forgiveness is so perfect. If you truly are a sign, you'd walk humbly, you'd forgive truly. You'd truly forgive. You'd actually, from your heart of hearts, anyone who's holding a grudge and bitterness today, let it go. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, he linked the forgiveness of your sins with your forgiveness of someone else's sin. Forgive me my debts, my burdens, as I forgive. He told the story of the unforgiving servant who literally, having been forgiven a lot, held to ransom the little that was owed to him. And it didn't end good for that guy. I don't know how to say this nicely, but I'm just going to say it. Unforgiveness has eternal consequences. Two things that, I mean, all sin is bad, but two things for some reason is just another level. Pride and unforgiveness. You're like, but I can think of far worse sins. God can't. Why? Because he humbled himself and he forgave you. That's why the last thing you and I should ever do is exalt ourselves and hold a grudge against someone else. It will always be the two things you need to root out of your life. Walk humbly. Forgive truly. Truly forgive. From your heart of hearts. You know, I feel like if there's someone even irritating you today, I want you to declare blessing over them. Don't go, I forgive you. Never want to see you again. No, he said, unless you forgive from your heart. To walk humbly and to forgive truly is a sign of someone who's truly been forgiven. This is not the prerequisite to being forgiven. This is the fruit of someone who's been forgiven. So every night I go, God, have I forgiven them totally, God? And you know how I check myself? Because I don't know. I don't know if I have. Because I'm irritated. A lot. So I'm like, God, just bless. And I just speak blessing over anyone that's irritating me. You know what it does? It doesn't just bless them. It purges me of anything that is there. And you know, the sign of forgiveness, the best way to forgive truly, before you even talk about whoever you want to forgive, is to put yourself first in the stand that you've got them on and go, God, I thank you. You set me free. You forgave me. And anytime you hold on to bitterness, it's simply a sign you have forgotten how much you have been forgiven of. Walk humbly, forgive truly. Number 3, serve joyfully. you know, it is a sign of a truly forgiven person that you can serve joyfully. The psalm says, serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness. God is not there auditing your smile to make sure you're a happy, clappy Christian. God is there to check if you've really received forgiveness, because the byproduct of that, see, slavery is compelled service. Servanthood with joy is my privileged response to the fact that God saved me. God forgave me. In Ephesians, we're described as members of a body, and it says each joint supplies. Is your being, personhood, supplying to the whole body? Or are you just receiving from the body but not supplying to the body? I know this month we're talking about carriers. We're talking about serving. We're talking about those in Connect groups saying, yes, you know, we have an amazing team. Can we give a hand to all our carriers all around the world, but even right here in KL, on stage, off stage, kids, youth, ushers, car park, media, everybody, pastoral care, every Connect leader, every Connect host, every region leader, everyone who pays a price to open your life, open your heart, open your house, open your wallet, thank you for saying yes to God. But you know what? It is a natural, joyful response of someone who's truly forgiven. If someone truly forgives you, you're like, what can I do for you? It's the most natural response. That's why when a Christian is withholding everything, there's something not quite right. And not only that, you begin to atrophy. You are formed to function. You're created to have purpose. And you might be an older person. Don't carry chairs. Carry prayer. You might be a business guy. You can't shake hands at the door, but you can double your miracle offering. You might be a teenager. You've got nothing to give in the offering, but you can't give your time. Everybody has something to give. You were created to function. We were all part of a body. And the sign of being fully forgiven is it's a natural byproduct for me to serve gladly. Because like everybody, here's the question. Are you fat or muscle in the body of Christ? I should think of better analogies, but I can't. But here's the problem. If I'm fat in my body, it's my problem. If I'm fat in his body, it's our problem. You become weight we all have to carry. Because someone else can serve, someone else can set up, someone else can contribute, someone else can set up. Thank God for the someone else. I got a little heavy, so you have to forgive me because God has forgiven you. Finally, number four, worship freely. In fact, why don't we stand? Let's stand to our feet. Worship team, come join me. Jesus had an awkward moment where this lady was in Simon Peter's house and literally kissing his feet. And to break the awkwardness that clearly some of them felt, Jesus says, Simon, this woman has been, here's the bottom line of what he said. Her worship is a reflection on how much she's been forgiven. And this is the line. He who is forgiven much loves much. You know, today, it's not, the fruit of today is not, did I learn something new? The fruit of today is, did you leave lighter? Did you leave freer? Did you leave, if nothing else, reminded of how good God is, how kind God is? There might be people today that go, I've never felt totally forgiven. If there's two categories of people I want to pray for. The first one are those who need to return to the Lord, because everything I've just outlined is only for those who return to the Lord. See, if you want this freedom, but you won't return to the Lord, it doesn't work. You have to return to the Lord. But, you know, that's still an amazing deal. Because do you know how hard the enemy will try and remind you of the consequence of your sin? And God says, I'm more powerful. My forgiveness is unfathomable. It's unchanging. It's guaranteed. It's life-giving. It will change the nature of who you are. It will produce joy and peace. But the second group of people are those of us, many of us in the room and online, who are saved. But if you were to audit yourself, are you a sign to the world? Worship is restricted. Service is limited. Forgiveness feels hard. That's a sign that this forgiveness hasn't worked its way through your system. And the prophet spent 9 verses unpacking the power of God's forgiveness through verses that we quote and often misquote. He says, my ways are higher, My word will not return to me void. You'll go out with joy. All of this is speaking about the power of God's forgiveness. It needs to land today in soil that is truly free. You know, you might be surrounded by someone who feels restricted in their praise, but if you've been forgiven, you can worship. If you've been forgiven, you don't need to worry about what the person on their left or the person on the right says. I wonder if today anybody is free enough to worship God. I wonder if you're free enough to say, God, I thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for freeing me. Thank you, God. You know, some of us need to be reminded. Maybe I want to do this in a very temporary way. I want you to think about a sin or a season that you take for granted. Some of you, it's still bothering you. Others of you, it's already under the blood. But I want gratitude. I want joy and peace. I want to say thank you, Lord. I want to declare, God, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That death has lost its sting. The consequence, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. There is a freedom, there's a liberty, there's a joy. There's a joy, there's a freedom. We worship you, we bless your name, we praise your name, we worship you. Come on, set yourself free. If you need to get into the aisles, you can do that. If you need to decide, God, today I want to declare the goodness of God over my life, for I am free, for I am free, for I am free. For I am free. For I am free.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.